Before I switched to Wealthfront, my APY was probably 0.1.
Once I switched, cha-ching!
With a Wealthfront cash account, earn up to 4.2% APY on your cash.
I can trust Wealthfront is taking care of me.
Make your money earn more. Get started at Wealthfront.com. Clients were paid $1,000 for their testimonials, creating a conflict of interest. Outcomes vary. 3.3% base APY as of January 30th, 2026 is representative variable and earned on funds swept to program banks. 0.65% new client boost for 3 months on up to $150,000. Direct deposit $1,000 a month and fund an investing account for a 0.25% increase. Cash account offered by Wealthfront Brokerage, LLC, member FINRA, SIPC, not a bank.
Hey, podcast listeners, still standing on the sidelines when you could be getting paid to play? Well, all your favorite NBA and college basketball teams are in action, and there's no better time to make sure you're betting with the best. BetDSI is one of the most reliable and profitable online sports books. Bet on the NBA, college basketball, MLB, UFC, NHL, and much more. It's your all-access pass for everything. And not only are there super quick payouts and bonuses, but BetDSI's live feature allows me to watch my team before I even bet. They even match any deposit you make up to $1,000. So play big, win big, and get paid anytime. Plus, when you sign up for BetDSI.com using our code, you'll get an extra 25%. That's 125% bonus. So join the winning team by signing on at BetDSI.com and use promo code WIN101. You'll more than double your bet. So don't leave money on the table. Visit BetDSI.com and use code WIN101. That's BetDSI.com, promo code WIN101, BETDSI.com, code WIN101.
KFNC, Mont Bellevue, Houston, a Gao Media Station, ESPN, 97.5. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by Cheers. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, guys. You want to jump in? 713-780-3776. You got something to say about James Harden hitting 31? Heroic performance down the stretch. 11 straight points as the Rockets defeat the Mavericks behind James's 31. Frankly, that was a game that did not look like he was going to extend his streak. And yet here we are with James Harden extending his streak yesterday, getting 11 straight, the last 11 of the game, to get to 31. And it mattered. It mattered to everyone in the building. It mattered to James, who was smiling and very happy. He started talking to his mom, you know, saying stuff to her. The building just went bananas when he got it. It mattered to Chris Paul, who talked about it. Like, obviously, it's a big deal. It's a big deal. And it's 30 straight games of 30-plus points. So James is about to bypass Wilt Chamberlain. It's a bad week for Wilt. Wilt is about to get bypassed by James Harden.
Well, Wilt still has him.
Well, he'll still have the all-time 30 points in a season?
But how many games?
He did bust 100 one time.
How many games does James have to go before he bypasses Wilt?
No, not for consecutive.
Yeah.
No, not. What is it? I thought it was like he's one away.
I didn't. You know what else Wilt has? Rings.
Well, that's coming. That's coming.
For who?
For James. That's coming.
Is it?
Yeah, it might be this year.
Oh.
Wilt has 65 straight. James has a ways to go.
Wait, hold on. Then what was he about to? What was the new thing that he was about to
Russell
beat?
Russell Westbrook broke Wilt's streak.
Russell Westbrook with 10 straight triple doubles broke the original streak. I was shocked.
Wilt
that
has
Russ,
two streaks. He has the second longest, which I guess James might be.
Oh, so James is about to beat the second longest. That's what it is.
Yeah, but Wilt still has the longest.
Well, I don't count the I don't count the first one.
Why not?
Oh, that really? Only the second?
Yeah. It's just that was against all the white guys.
Well,
I don't count that one. The second
the
one,
other
was a,
one was against.
No, the second one was more diverse league.
You don't know that.
It probably happened with the Milwaukee.
It was a
Bucks.
Year later.
It probably happened with the Lakers.
This wasn't an influx in African American players in a month.
That was the year that.
That was it.
Everyone came in. Yeah.
See, that's what happened. Like women in film. It just happened overnight.
That's right. It was diversified. Right.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Eric Layden, an actor. We had a tweet for you. What happened to The Brink? Why did that get canceled? Would you like to relive that painful memory of having one of your shows canceled, Eric?
Yeah, thanks a lot, man. Yeah. Jerry Weintraub, our producer, died. That's what happened.
Ooh. Wow. How do you like that, Twitter?
Nice job.
Nice job, Twitter. Way to go, Twitter. Twitter loses again. Hateful Twitter does it again.
Why'd you get fired off your job?
Ooh, roasted Twitter. Whoa. Roasted Twitter. Now, so James had his had 31. The Rockets win. You have Kenneth Faried. I gotta tell you, man, I just love watching Kenneth Faried. You want to talk about somebody who has added what was much needed? When Capella gets back, they're going to have to figure everything out. But, man, Faried has been absolutely exactly what the doctor ordered. All he does is make shots. He was 8 for 11 the game before. He was 7 of 8 yesterday. 17 points, 8 rebounds, a plus 22. No big deal. That's just what he was doing. Chris Paul yesterday, 11 assists, 17 points. Is Chris, I thought Chris, is starting to come around a little bit. He's starting to come around a little bit. Now, Damon, we had previously just talked about Kareem Hunt. He goes to the Cleveland Browns. I'm sure he was not even in consideration for the Houston Texans. And that's, you know, that's fine by me, but they are going to need a running back. Let's not get that twisted. They have to have a running back. Let's get to Damon. What's up, Damon? Damon,
hey guys,
are you there?
How y'all
Good.
Yeah, Damon. I'm here.
Yeah, go ahead.
How y'all doing? I was just commenting. I just wanted to give my opinion. I've been hearing and watching the ESPN shows since this Kareem Hunt thing, and it's kind of disturbing to me personally. What Kareem Hunt did goes without saying, not acceptable, you know, that. But where it's being made out to be like this man shouldn't be able to resume his career because of a misdemeanor assault, not a domestic violence case, a misdemeanor assault that wasn't even prosecuted by the law. And here we have, we don't take that or hold that standard when lawyers, police officers, teachers, doctors, when they get in incidents like that, far be it, even worse than that, they're able to continue or resume their job. And we're acting like this man shouldn't be able to resume his job because of a mistake that he made in, you know, an incident for a mistake that he made. And I just find it disturbing because people still go to the movies and watch these actors who have committed these same crimes, but a football player or a young athlete can't resume his career or continue his career because of that. I even heard the NFL, it was reported on ESPN, I guess it wouldn't confirm, that he's going to get a 10-game suspension. Whatever happened to the 6 games for the first, you know, the first incident if you're involved in these type of things? And it just seems like the NFL, how dare they be the morality police? They're the last people who should be teaching and talking about morals and morality the way they operate and run their business.
Well,
so
first,
I just find it...
Well, I mean, okay, so your first part about misdemeanor and it wasn't, that's all, I think that's all fair. And I think just because you have opinion pieces about is he going to be allowed to continue or whatever, that you're acting like that's the gospel. He's in the league. He is
allowed. Yeah, he's got his job back.
He's got his job back. So that's not happening. And there are plenty, and please, there are plenty of, I don't know about lawyers, but teachers can lose their job with the quickness. That probably wasn't a great, it doesn't take a whole lot to lose your job for a lot of us. If we don't have celebrity, we can't make people millions. We're not getting our job back for a lot of stuff.
Tell you that. Also, there aren't networks dedicated to telling you about how teachers did every day and how lawyers did every day. There's not entire billion-dollar networks that revolve around these professions. So that's why, to answer your question, this guy is a celebrity. He's in the limelight. He's making millions of dollars. And the biggest reason why is because it's on camera. There's something visual we can see. Instead of just hearing about it, we can actually see it happen. And that's something that's very, very powerful. But at the end of the day, he does have his job.
And
he's in the league.
I don't know where your assumption comes from that nobody else gets in trouble, only athletes. For one, athletes get away with more because of celebrity money. And the same thing with entertainers. I would just say entertainers in general. Entertainers get away with more because they can make more money. We can't make the same amount of money for people. None of us can. I've seen people in this industry, they get got all the time. Now, you speak to this because you're in the entertainment industry. Now, the Me Too movement. Now, and you got to remember this too, Damon. We're talking about violence against women. Ray Rice, nothing happened to Ray Rice until the video came out. And the only reason the video came out was TMZ. That's the only reason. So if you're talking about the morality thing, yeah, but in the favor that you're talking about, not again, it's not the other way. There was talk about Kareem Hunt played the whole time, and the NFL didn't pursue they knew about it and didn't pursue the videotape, didn't go looking for it. So I think the players get zillions of chances. Josh Gordon got zillions of chances. I just think that's a random statement that people make that, oh, athletes don't get anybody and everyone wants to end their career. What actually happens, though? They get millions of chances. You know why? Because they're entertainers. It's not that they're athletes. It's they're entertainers. And you can make people millions. And if you can make millions the same way white-collar crime goes away, you know why? Because somebody above you, you can make them a lot of money. And you will look the other way on that.
I think what Eric said is correct. The discussions are had. It's in your face about what should happen. But when it comes down to it,
right,
the discussions don't matter if there's a decision maker who can employ him, decides I want him. Just what happens in movies or TV. Discussions are had on E! Or whatever, or even new cable news shows. They'll have that discussion.
Can we fade this?
But if an employer decides that guy or that woman is worth it, that person will have
a Damon, job. You're acting like there's no heat on people anymore. It's the most heat of all time now, especially violence against women, which, by the way, it should be.
Let's just unpack this a little bit more because it's an important topic. Even if it's illegal or not in the court of law, you still work for an organization. You still work for the NFL. So, you know, if the NFL has laws in place that prohibit you from doing something, just even if it's whether or not it's illegal in the court of law, if it prohibits you from doing it as you are in their employment, then that means that you're going to be punished for it. And that goes the same for everybody. So wherever you work, Damon, it might not be illegal to smoke pot, but if your employer tells you it is forbidden to smoke pot and he catches you smoking pot, then chances are there's going to be repercussions for it. So, you know, I mean, you still have to follow the laws of the league in this regard and your employer.
Yeah. We'll get into some of the Hollywood stuff in a little bit when we come back. But, yeah, just because people pass judgment, Damon, man, you got to get past that because this is the era of passing judgment. A ton of judgment passing. We've got Twitter. We've got 24-hour sports talk shows. There's a ton of passing judgment. And there are people who in regular walks of life who lose their jobs every single day. And there are lots of athletes who get in trouble who get second chances every single day. If you can make the people who can't make other people a lot of money, they get fewer chances typically, or unless they're hooked up and connected with somebody, they don't get as many. We're none of us are going to get as many chances. All of us will get in more trouble for a DUI or any other case than an entertainer will. That's just the fact. Rich often means powerful, and that's just the way it is. And Kareem Hunt's getting a second chance. So, and you know what? Based on everything, I don't have to like it. What he did, and you know, and I think he was. There's some other things that bother me even more. The fights he's had off the field, more than one altercation in one single year. But what Damon said was true. It was a misdemeanor. It was not prosecuted. You know, he deserves another chance in the league if a team will give it to him. A team gave it to him. 8:14 right here on the bench. I want to tell you about my good friend Craig DeSerf. You know, one of the things that we talked about the other day, Craig came in and we did some commercials and we were talking about they've got a grill out there across the street from where they are. It's at one or the other. There's two different Gulf Coast locations out there, and they're at Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC. They go across the street to the other location. There's a grill there, really good food. If you come out there and buy a vehicle and you said, hey, I heard Craig say that you guys will buy me lunch. They will. They'll take you over and get you lunch because it's that small town feel. It's in Angleton, which is about 40 to 45 minutes away from you here in Houston. But they want you to have the small town advantages. They want you to have service that is across the board better than any place else. And they have that. Their CSI, which is Customer Service Index, is at the top of the food chain. And they will drive vehicles into Houston for you, your new vehicles. They'll drive the papers in for you to sign. These are the things that they do to go out of their way to make sure that you understand that it's not just the prices that are going to be lower with their their lower overhead, which allows for lower prices. It's also going to be about a company that is willing to do that extra, take that extra step to make sure that you're happy and that you recommend them to friends or family members. Look, you can get GMCs, Buicks, Chevys anywhere, but it's not everywhere that you're going to get the best prices, the best selection, and the best people to deal with on the day of the purchase and beyond with your service. It's Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC. To see their entire inventory, go to LanceZCars.com. Don't just say it now, you gotta show me what you
gotta do. Bring the clip back empties. This is Carlos Correa, All-Star and World Series champion, and big fan of Gulf Coast Chevrolet in Angleton. No one will treat you better. Chevy, find new roads.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by Cheers. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Before we get to the Astros, we got Eric Layden is on the line with us today. He's co-hosting. Eric went to school here, high school here. You're a longtime, long-suffering Astros and Texans fan. How excited are you about your Houston Texans maybe getting Le'Veon Bell for your Texans?
Oh, I see what you're doing there. You're leading me in to make the official announcement on the air.
Yeah, make your announcement. Is there a press conference coming?
Well, no, but I let you know that I've gone ahead and moved on past the Texans. I've lived in LA for 21 years. I've got the Rams and
Chargers.
Yeah. I've moved past. No, I think I've chosen the Rams. Yeah, but you know, this is interesting, actually, because I realized, why do I care less about the Texans than I do, say, the Astros? And that's because the Texans were easy for me. I was from Houston. They tried to take the place of the Oilers, but I didn't have any emotional connectivity to the Texans. I grew up with the Oilers. If the Oilers were still there, then they would be like my Astros. But the Texans showed up after I had already left Houston. So I gave them a shot, but like, I can't be a part of an organization with Bill O'Brien at the helm that's too loyal to all their coaches, that can't make moves when they need to. And, you know, it's a sports organization. I have the right to move. It's like a stock. You know, the stock's moving down. I'm going to go ahead and sell it, and I'll buy a stock that's on the way up.
I don't really care what you say.
I mean, well, I don't really care what you say, Bob.
His name is Bill O'Brien. Oh, you mean B-O-B.
Bob.
I got you.
Yeah.
Well, I can tell you this. The train made lots of stops last year with 11. Was it 10 straight wins or 11? It was 10
Did
straight
Bill
wins.
Get off at any of them?
No. Not only no, did he not get off, he was a conductor. He was a conductor. Oh.
So that won the AFC South 2 years in a row.
That's right.
Oh, huge. And hang the banners.
Can we get a new one that says three of the last four?
He hadn't said that yet.
Well, I hope he says it soon so we can use it against Eric. Uh-oh. Eric, I don't know if this makes it out to the West Coast where you are, but, you know, you're busy with your Grammys and your Emmys and your Oscars and your Kids' Choice Awards or whatever. Team. LeBron, your LeBron circus that you have going on. Some of us win division championships. Some of us have iconic songs that represent not just the organization, but the city.
There they are. Wow, the sound.
It's not just the music. It's not just country rock. It's also the lyrics. It is country rock, yes, but it's the lyrics. Now, in L.A., it's acting, it's Lakers, it's Dodgers. But in Houston, let me tell you something, buddy. In Houston, it's about football. It's football
time in Houston. Division titles. And we're ready
to play. One title after another. Bring Title Town, bring Title Town, bring. Those are, the brings are unfurling.
And as far as Eric's criticism about the Texans not making the moves he likes.
Yeah.
We don't make knee-jerk decisions.
Right from the horse's mouth. E-L.
Mm-hmm. Obviously. Obviously, they don't make knee-jerk decisions.
Who would you rather have? Jared Goff, who almost started to cry and made brown in his pants, the first sign of Bill Belichick, or the guy that I like to call the Patriot Slayer, Deshaun Watson, who almost beat the Patriots last year.
But he is the Patriot.
He scored 30.
He's the almost Slayer.
Yeah, that's right. Kind of like your guy with no rings, Jared Goff.
Well, listen, man, they competed for one, though, didn't they?
All right, then you make sure that you say the same thing, that you speak kindly of my man James Harden when you're slandering him about not winning rings.
You know what? James Harden and the Rockets are perfect for Houston sports. They're going to get just close enough to maybe hang like a conference banner, a division banner, mm-hmm. and then and that'll be great. Then we'll have another country rock song.
All things going on. But Eric's bias has just destroyed our show.
I know.
His bias against Houston sports. All of a sudden, he's not a Houston sports fan. He's just an Astro fan.
And you got Dell, the anti-Houston sports guy, saying that. Well, that's a bad sign for
you. I mean, I have a reason to. I wasn't born here, so I can disassociate pretty easily.
He goes west or east to wherever LeBron is.
That's a lie. You continue to lie because that's what you do.
He's a Laker fan, too. He's a LeBron guy.
I'm not a Laker fan.
Were you a LeBron guy whenever you admitted yesterday you had a jersey?
He was on my team.
A LeBron jersey when the Heat.
I didn't admit
you
that.
You accidentally admitted it.
I didn't admit
Le
that.
Brahil.
I said I never had a jersey. I was a LeBron fan because he was on my team.
He said, I never wore my jersey.
I said I never wore a jersey. I didn't say I never wore my jersey. I don't wear jerseys, particularly a LeBron one. Never bought one, never will. I'm a Heat fan, so I rooted for LeBron. That's how it worked.
Okay, but Dell, see, don't you agree that we should hold our teams with the highest of expectations?
Yes, of course.
Okay, well, so when second place is good enough, that means it's time for me to bounce.
Second place?
Ooh, he's
second place. Can you play the Bill O'Brien division championships thing again?
I think he's overestimating the Texans' reach. They're not a second place team.
You're right.
No, they won the division.
No, but overall in the NFL, they're not a second place team.
They were number two seed until that last game.
Well, no, when they lost to Philly, yeah. That was the second last
I know.
Game.
Unfortunately, there are 16 games.
And they should have won the Philly game. That was another one where
Bill O'Brien didn't come through.
It wasn't on him.
The defense didn't come through.
Yeah, that's right. It was the defense. It's Romeo Crennel's costing us all these problems.
Oh, you think that he's the problem?
Yeah, him and Mike Vrabel. It's not on Bill O'Brien, ladies and gentlemen.
Mike, didn't he elevate Mike Vrabel to defensive coordinator?
Yeah, he elevated him straight up to head coach.
Well, how does that help him when Mike Vrabel beat him once and cost him the two seed? How does elevating Mike Vrabel help the Texans? He was terrible as the defensive coordinator, and then he went to Tennessee and beat you once and cost you.
Can I remind you it's football time in Houston?
Yeah, but okay. I just play that to troll. I'm with Eric.
The Texans could get Le'Veon Bell, and Bill O'Brien still wouldn't know what to do with this
squad. The Texans start 9-0 with Le'Veon Bell, Will Fuller healthy, Deshaun looking like the MVP, I will get train emojis from you like, I'm on the train. The train.
No, let me tell you when I get on the train. When Bill O'Brien walks off. That's when I get
take?
On the train.
Well, 4 years, I guess.
Well, those things don't always play out.
The
they?
Texans are pretty damn loyal.
Texans are very loyal.
I mean, how many coaches have the Texans had?
Three. Yeah.
Three.
The Texans.
The Capers. Kubiak. Well, I'll tell you, they should try to get Kubiak back.
Are we counting Wade Phillips as interim? I don't count interim coaches. No. That doesn't count to me. So, what do you think now? Three, they're loyal. They grow, they grow their
what do they do?
Organizations. They're loyal.
Yeah, they're loyal to a fault.
Yeah, that's right. They are loyal to a fault. Let's just be real about this. Bob McNair did not like making changes. He was anti any kind of change. We'll see if Cal is the same way. But most coaches who win four games don't get a You don't get a year extension for every game you win usually, and that happened with the Texans.
But he was so close in those losses. You know what I mean? I mean, it really. They tried hard. They showed some leadership, and that's what's important.
And by the way, our very own Raheel Ramzanali, who's not here at the moment, did a little piece on if you don't get it done early, you usually don't get it done at all. He did a piece about coaches in the new NFL and how long it takes him to reach a certain point. Generally, if you don't reach a Super Bowl in your first 4 years, it's not going to happen. That's recent history since the Brady era started. And what are we in Bill O'Brien's tenure?
He came in the year 2014. 14, 15, 16, 17, 18. This will be year six.
Now, the only saving grace you would say is, well,
three division
he finally
titles.
Has a franchise quarterback, and that's only been for 2 years. So if you want to start his clock over, since he's not playing with the Ryan Fitzpatricks and the Brian Hoyers
and
of the
new
world,
offensive coordinator
that won't be calling plays.
Was it's fluid?
Is he new if he was already here?
Newish,
huh?
He's elevated.
He elevated a guy who he didn't trust to call plays before, and he's not going to call plays now, right?
He wouldn't answer the question. He said there's a lot that goes into that. There's a collaboration.
Look, I don't want you – look, this ain't
– I think he said, I don't care what you think.
He says that pretty much with every movie he makes. This isn't Times Square. Don't play that shell game with me, Bill O'Brien. I know what you're doing. I know what you're doing. You ain't going to get me. I ain't getting got.
Does Bill O'Brien undo that the bedspread full of purses? Like, hey, I got you, you know, I got your Gucci right here.
Nah, that ain't
Kate
Gucci.
Kate Spade. That's not Kate Spade. It's a division championship, but it's not a Kate Spade.
Yeah. Some dude name. Isn't the coordinator name like Sean?
It's another Sean.
That's just the guy. That's his name.
They hired him. Yeah, they hired him because he has the same name.
That's a guy named Sean. That ain't right. A Kate Spade. That ain't Gucci.
But he has
that's
the
Sean.
Same name as McVay. So that's all that matters.
Yeah, that's all we care about anymore.
Yeah, if he has a name Sean,
how
that
old
means
is
he's
he?
Pretty close to McVay.
Yeah.
Does he line up his scruff?
Yeah,
is scruff real lined
man,
up?
Man, that's a West Coast beard line right there now.
Oh yeah, no, that thing gets lined up.
Yeah, that's sure. So West Coast right there. Yeah. You knew that. Everything McVay, Granato joked about, if you live down the street from McVay at any point, you've got a shot at an NFL job. Feels accurate.
Oh, for sure.
Feels accurate.
Yeah. I don't even think you have to live, even if you didn't live by him, I mean, if you just like lived in the neighborhood, same zip.
Mm-hmm. See, I think you're giving the NFL too much credit. If after a game where Sean McVay seen beat you by 30, he gave you a little, hey man, good game.
Oh, well, did you shake it? Hold
that's
on.
It.
Did you shake
I think you're
his
good.
Hand?
Yeah,
I think you're good. He may not even know you, but he sees you in the opposing team's color, and he just, hey, man, good game. And you just walk off. You got a shot. Too bad the Texas OC is named Tim.
Dap. Yeah,
Dap, I think, works.
Yeah. If you get Dap from him, you're in.
Tim is.
That's all it takes?
Yeah.
Wow.
The unfortunate part for the Texans is their OC is named Tim. That doesn't sound like a guy. That doesn't sound like a guy who's going to be lighting up the scoreboard.
Tim.
His name is Tim Kelly.
Yeah, the Tims, the Seans and the Tims don't feel like big-time coordinators.
Dude, I'm telling you, this team.
I don't think a Tim's ever succeeded.
You're on a treadmill with this squad. This is never changing. And you know, you can make all
the
country rock songs.
Did you jump off the Astros? Country Rock is red hot right now. Did you jump off the Astros at any point?
No, never.
Why?
Never. Even when they lost 100 games, never jumped off the Astros.
But you'll jump off the Texans.
You know why? Because the Astros showed that they were doing something. The Astros
losing
were willing
the honey.
To tear. Yeah, but they were with a goal in mind because they said, you know what's not good enough? Third place in the division.
You know, in all,
second place in the division.
In all seriousness?
They said, we'll take last place for 5 years so that we can get to first place. I would rather that than what the Texans do, which is, you know what? We're winning divisions, and that's good enough for us.
In
that's
all seriousness, I felt the same way about the Astros when Drayton McClain was the owner that you feel about Bill O'Brien as a head coach. I know where you're coming from because I thought Drayton's a loser. And I know this loser mentality of it's more important to see what kind of celebrity blanket, you know, Craig Biggio 3,000-hit blanket that they could make for the first 5,000 fans. When that was more important, when it was more important to get dogs in the stands on Sundays and stuff like that was the most important thing to him was marketing. I couldn't do that anymore. I couldn't do that anymore. Jim Crane gets it. You know what? I'm not sure ownership with the Texans is great, to be perfectly honest with you. Whether it's Bob McNair, Cal McNair, that team doesn't inspire, in all seriousness now, I'm not joking around, that team doesn't inspire a lot of confidence.
So then why do you pay money to go watch them play? Like, why do you put money in his pocket? Because that's the only way you speak to these guys. The only way you speak to them and say, we want more, is not go.
Yeah, but they did. It's not like they were a bad team this year. They haven't been a bad football team. They are a treadmill team. Up to this point, they are a treadmill team. That's a good term.
But that's what I'm saying. Of course, they weren't a bad team. But are you looking for bad when down the street you got a team that's winning rings and at least competing for rings? Like if the Astros come out this year and they lose in the ALCS again, it's still different. This is a team that is trying to achieve greatness. This is a team that's trying to win a ring and doing everything in their power to do so. The Texans are not doing
that. Le'Veon Bell, if they go after Le'Veon Bell, because they have a bunch of money, that will be one of those moves where you can say that is not like what they usually do.
I agree with you there, but unless Bill O'Brien has the ability, unless he's willing to hire somebody to help him call plays, unless he's willing to make some moves that don't necessarily play into his ego, then I don't see it happening.
That may be true. Something I do see happening is you guys getting on the phone to Rose Express. I see that happening. I better see it happening because when I say phone, get on the phone to your browser and go to roseexpress.com right now. I'm going to explain what it looks like to you. If you go to roseexpress.com, when you get to the website, it couldn't be more clear. Now, there's a phone number there if you need to talk to somebody, but you can click section for 25 roses for $39, 50 for $69, 75 for $99, 100 for $129, and 125 for $159. These are beautiful hand-cut roses fresh from the fields. They are packed fresh and sent out guaranteed delivery date. Now, right now you can have them delivered tomorrow, which is Wednesday, the day before. If you want to have them sent to your office where she doesn't see them and you can dress them up any way you want and get them prepared, you can do that. Or you can have it sent on Valentine's Day to wherever you need. Maybe it's a restaurant where you're going to eat. Maybe it's her work, which is going to get you those bonus points. And we all know, happy wife, happy life. Happy girlfriend, they do more. I'll just be honest about this. So now is your chance to go to roseexpress.com and make her happy with beautiful hand-cut roses that are going to last you a long time as well. Because when they get there, they're going to continue to bloom, and they are going to last you a long time. Red roses waiting for her, guaranteed Valentine's Day delivery. All you have to do to get wholesale prices on these roses is go to roseexpress.com.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by Cheers. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Don't forget, if you want to weigh in through Twitter, at Lance Zierlein, and of course, at Dell V2. That's his second version. The first one was a massive failure. It was canceled.
It's not true.
At Eric Laden, L-A-D-I-N. You can hit us up anytime you want. You can go back and listen to some old podcasts off script. That is on Apple, or you can go to, what is it, lzpodcast.com, I think is the website also. But you can find it on Apple, and you can subscribe. One of the things we used to talk about a lot on Off Script, because I was off the radio at that particular time during my non-compete, we talked a lot of Astros, and this is when they were on their way towards winning the championship. So, you know, after 2 decades of doing sports talk, my team finally wins a title, and I'm off radio. That was a cool feeling. But I was able to actually cuss while they won a championship on Off Script. So that was fun. And we talked about one of the things that we would talk about a lot was Charlie Morton, for example, and the way that he was pitching down the stretch, or the acquisition of Justin Verlander, or can Dallas Keuchel get it back? And where is Lance McCullers going to fit into the postseason? These are all things that were big topics just 2 years ago during the championship and in their run during October of 2017. Now, as we are in February of 2019, a little different conversations going on, because Dallas Keuchel will not be a Houston Astro. Even though he doesn't have a new home yet, we know he's not going to be an Astro. Lance McCullers is out for the year with an injury. Charlie Morton has moved on. So now, if you go to Astros.com, Brian McTaggart has an article predicting the Astros' 25-man roster. I'll leave the starting rotation to you in just a second. Catchers, Robinson, Chirinos, and Max Stassi. He said this is a position the club could still upgrade moving forward. I would agree with that. obviously. First base, Yuli. So, same old, same old.
Infield, we know.
Yeah, we know the infield. Outfield is going to look like this. Springer center, Brantley left, Josh Reddick right. Mariznick is in the mix. And then he doesn't, as the fourth outfielder, but Tony Kemp, he kind of has, he says top prospect Kyle Tucker and Tony Kemp figure to push for playing time as well. Del, we talked about it with Richard Justice yesterday. Richard Justice said, he made it sound like Tony Kemp is a much bigger part of the Astros' potential future, and probably should be, to be honest with you.
Yeah, he absolutely should be.
Go ahead, said in the interview that the Astros view him as a main component to this team, and considering what he did last season when he was really nothing more, at least in most people's eyes, than a spare part, because we know Kyle Tucker was the outfielder of the future. Tony Kemp, by the way, Tony Kemp has a pedigree himself where he was drafted. He wasn't Kyle Tucker, number one prospect in the system, but Tony Kemp was a highly regarded player as well. You know, small stature certainly hurts his cause.
He was a quarterback.
Yeah, but even at Vanderbilt, he was a really good player. He was drafted high, I think, in the fifth round or so. So that guy came.
He was the original Kyler Murray. No. I don't think he played football.
No, I don't think he played football.
That's about how big Kyler Murray is.
Yeah, pretty much. Tony Kemp, pretty much. Tony might be a little smaller, but he was a guy that most people considered, is he a major league player? And he proved himself, and it was even tougher for him because he constantly got pushed and pulled out of the lineup depending on the matchup and depending on who AJ Hinch thought he should be playing in the lineup. And Tony Kemp kind of persevered, and now he should be an easy guy to mark off on the 25-man roster.
I think so. I agree. There's any question
I
about
agree.
That.
Tony's made too many big plays in the outfield and too many at bats. He gives you speed. I understand the potential of a Kyle Tucker, but when you line those two guys up next to each other, that's a no-brainer for me. Kyle Tucker's not ready. Nor do I believe Kyle Tucker's ever going to be a star in this league, but that's yet to be determined.
Well, so he doesn't have Tony Kemp on the roster. He's got it Mariznick, and to me, you already know what Jake is. He's a high strikeout guy, good defensively. He can bomb it away if he catches it. But I don't think Jake Mariznick has a locked-in spot on this on the 25-man roster. He's got Elidmus Diaz and Tyler White as the utility guys. That makes sense. White could play some first. Yuli could also play a utility role. He could DH. White can DH. However you want to play it at first base. That's how that one's going to go down. You know, Tyler White had his moments last year where he looked really good and could be the full-time DH.
He had a streak, and he will. I'm with you. He will this year. He's going to get his spot at first on Yuli's off days.
Here is who he has the starting pitchers. Justin Verlander, one. Garrett Cole, check. Two. There's no doubt. Number three, Colin McHugh. You know, Colin's got to go from being a reliever to seeing if he can give you six
more
innings?
Than five. Yeah.
Six innings? That's a lot. So the bullpen's going to be in action when Colin McHugh pitches. The next guy up is Wade Miley for Brian McTaggart. I mean, he's got to prove he can get back to where he once was as well. And then he's got Josh James at fifth. You have three straight guys. Your bullpen, I don't know if you can do it. Your bullpen's going to be worn out with the way that – and Josh James is a guy that has to – he's going to have to pace himself. He can't throw 100 – in a starting rotation, or he'll go 4 to 5 innings max. And I know a lot of teams don't care as much about the 6-inning or the 7-inning pitcher, the 8-inning pitcher, but if you stack them back to back to back, that's going to put some pressure on your bullpen, especially if you have a couple of bad outings back to back.
So let me ask you this. Is there, and I know this would be a little bit, non-traditional here, but you might have to, if that's what you're getting, and those are your three guys, McHugh, Miley, and James, and these guys are not able to get past 5 and 6 innings, you might have to flip your rotation around because your two guys up top, your horses, always give you 8. You might have to put Verlander in there. Then you might have to put McHugh in there, and then Cole, and then Miley and a James, because you might have to be able to have days where you feel like your bullpen can get some rest. And you can't have their bullpen behind three days in a row, coming off guys that are going to give you 5.
I agree. From a practical standpoint, that would make some sense. I just don't think they're going to do that. I don't know. I just don't see them doing that, making Colin McHugh the number two. Now, and at some point, yeah, you're right. If you get to the All-Star break, you may have the opportunity to realign your starters. So I could see that, but I don't think it would happen until...
But in the middle of the season, what is a number two? What does it matter? on a Tuesday in late July? What is a number two or a number three matter? I mean, you show up to go play in Toronto and McHugh just happens to be the guy throwing on day one because Cole threw the day before. Who cares? I mean, other than your opening day starter and then the playoffs, what does it matter?
Let me hit you with Forrest Whitley. All right. He's been the
When we come back. Whitley's coming up.
He's coming up. You think he'll be all right, save it. Because who starts what we might be having is Brian McTaggart giving us the starting rotation on opening day and just not mentioning the fact that the real pitchers could be coming up once you play the clock game. You play the arbitration game, once that's played. We'll get to that here in just a second. I want to tell you about Texas Custom Patios. Getting your own patio, having a custom patio is a big deal. It takes your house, turns it into a home. I know that for a fact because I started to search that out, and I found work that looked pretty good. I wasn't blown away until I got to Texas Custom Patios. The reason they're on the radio is because I told Stephen Schell, one of the owners, I said, you need to be on the radio talking about it. And as somebody who's listened to the station, you know, the show and listens to sports talk, he understood. He gets it. But I just said, look, your product's so good, I want to speak for it. And that really is how it happened. I went to him and said, you should be on the air because I want to talk about this product. It's beautiful. He took a space, kind of an empty space in my backyard, and looked at it against my house and said, this is literally the perfect spot for a patio. He envisioned it right off the bat. He went and got on his computer, drew it up for me with his program, you know, with his the programming he has. He showed me a picture where it looked exactly like when I look at the computer program, it looks exactly the way it looks right now. Only he added a fire pit in there for me as well. We ended up doing that. You can have the same thing happen. You can have a room, an enclosed patio. You can have a patio. You can have an outdoor living space, an outdoor kitchen, a room addition, a sunroom. These are all things that Texas Custom Patio will do. And they do it with the best materials, the best workmanship, and you truly get value, dollar for dollar value in most cases, when you decide to sell your home. If you want to see what my backyard looks like now compared to what it used to look like, go to tpclance.com. That's tcplance.com, and you can see the before and after, or just go to Texas Custom Patios, see all of their before and after work. And then you can click the inquiry button so that you can find out what they might be able to do at your home, TexasCustomPatios.com. Don't forget, follow them on Instagram as well.
You can now listen to all your favorite shows on the Amazon Echo.
Oh, sweet, dude.
Just say, Alexa, open ESPN 97.5.
Now playing ESPN 97.5.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by Cheers. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Erline.
Lance, Dell, and Eric. Eric's already taking heat for being a front runner in L.A. I mean, you do live there. If I'm being honest, you do.
Yeah, it's not like Dell wearing a Miami jersey.
Yeah, Houston. I know. It's such a joke.
The flagrant lies they get told on this show. I don't wear jerseys.
Let's get Alex in here. What's going on, Alex? How you doing?
Hey, I wanted to ask Eric about the best show that he was in, but he was only in the pilot, which is Bosch. I'm a huge fan of those novels. I'm curious, Eric, why you didn't stick around on the show. And if I also want to ask you, you know, when you have a show like that, does Michael Connelly in there giving day in and day out direction, or is he just turning over the books and everybody else is
that the guy who
it?
Wrote? Did he write the books? Or
yeah, Michael Connelly is the author who wrote the Bosch books. Well, thank you, by the way. But you got to catch up on your Bosch.
Yeah,
I did four episodes in season. Here's the deal, dude. First of all, the pilot I actually was cast in. And then they recast me. So I'm actually not in the pilot. They recast me because I booked another job and I went and did that other job. Then they recast me in another role. And I came in and I did, I think, 3 or 4 episodes in season 3. And then this last season that's going to come out in March, I'm in another 4 or 5 episodes there. And then plan to be in next season as well, season 6, which we'll start shooting this summer. So, I'm scattered throughout there. Mainly not a regular because I've had other gigs, and it just hadn't worked out timing wise. As for Conley, yeah, Conley's got his hands all over the show. He's not there every day, but he is there a lot, and he's who breaks story, and he's who builds the Bible out with the other with the showrunners, with Eric Overmeyer and the other producers on the show.
So for people who don't know you, we talked about you've actually co-hosted the show here a couple of times. You were out at the Christmas party. You have been. Let's go over some of the just so people are familiar with some of your work, some of the movies and TV shows that you've been in.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Go for it.
You know it better than I do. I know. Here's my favorites. You were in The Brink on HBO, which got canceled because of a death, or so you say.
Yeah.
We have. You were the brother in Juniper Creek of, on Big Love.
That's right.
Chloe Sevigny, and you actually almost gave her a real shot one time.
Ooh. That's right. Yeah. Almost, yeah.
During
almost
the got national fired championship, that day. Vince Young, he was That's so right. excited about seeing Vince roll his Trojans that he almost gave Chloe Sevigny a real shot. He couldn't even get through his – he kept mumbling and stuttering and bumbling and – Tell him.
Okay, you got that partly right. Okay. It was before a national championship, but Texas was involved in that.
It was
the one Colt McCoy got hurt,
yeah,
and
right.
they lost to Alabama.
Yeah, they broke him in Texas. Half.
Yeah. I wouldn't have gone to work for the SEC title game.
Yeah, that's right.
I had to take the day.
Wow,
for
Big
that.
Love was still on in 2009. Was still taping.
Yeah, we were taping there. Big okay. Love, Mad Men, I think everybody's favorite show
you know
that I've
was
done
on
is
Mad
probably
Men?
The Killing.
Yeah, he was the skeevy campaign manager, was that? Was it?
No, that was The Killing.
Yeah, The Killing, that's what I mean, yeah.
You know who he was in
he
Mad
put
Men?
Little Rosie in that trunk.
What?
That's right.
You put somebody in a trunk?
Yeah.
Well, was it the sister who did it, and then you pushed her the car in the water? I don't remember exactly how that played
that's
out.
That's right. I put her in the trunk.
Yeah.
The sister kicked in the water.
Yeah.
It was like
that,
a tag team.
That actress, at least in her biggest roles, always dies. Katie Finley, I think is the name of that actress. That,
good call. Katie Finley, Canadian actress.
Yeah, she died in How to Get Away with Murder in the first season as well.
Oh, that's a bummer.
She's the new Sean Bean.
You know, I was that Sean for a while, Bean. But whenever I would come back to Texas, my buddies would say, you know, what are you doing? I'd answer, and then they'd say, are you going to die? I died quite a bit early in my career, quite a bit. So yeah, it's been a good run. Hopefully it'll keep going. We'll see.
And what did you just, so you did, you were also in Mad Men with, you've said now this, cause Dell is a big TV head. He watches a lot of TVs, and John says comic book movies.
Well, yeah.
Two of my favorites, one for experience would have been an HBO miniseries called Generation Kill.
Yeah.
Which was an unbelievable show written by the creators of The Wire, David Simon and Ed Burns. That was fantastic. Boardwalk Empire, really challenging job to play J. Edgar Hoover. And that production as a whole is just top notch and second to none. So that was pretty cool. And this job that I just finished for Apple, which will come out next year, or I guess this year now.
Where will we be able to see it? Like what platform? How will you be able to watch Apple shows?
Apple hasn't announced that yet. They'll probably, I'm guessing, announce it in the spring. I don't know. It's total speculation.
Why
but
we have some new shows to watch on.
You
on
should be able to
streaming.
Watch it on. Yeah. You should be able to watch it on any Apple device, an Apple TV, or a computer, or an iPad, or.
You know, one of the things I say on a daily basis is like, when are they going to put more programming on streaming? I don't get the opportunity to ever stream anything because there's just not enough shows.
I say that on a regular basis.
There's just not enough to watch. Are you happy with the show you did? What's it about?
I am. I'm really happy about. It's about the space program in the late 60s is when it opens. So Apollo era. And then it moves on from there. I play a guy named Gene Kranz, who's a big, big influence of in Houston, actually, and throughout NASA. He was the flight operator flight director, excuse me, during Apollo 13 and several other Apollo missions.
Who's the biggest a-hole you've ever played? Role? The guy in the killing who puts people on trunks?
No, he really wasn't an a-hole. He just found himself on a bad day, you know?
It's a bad day.
It was like Kareem Hunt, just a bad day.
He didn't mean a bad day. Okay, he wasn't looking to kill young Rosie.
No,
he just needed her to be quiet for a little bit.
I just needed her to be quiet, and much like Lenny and Of Mice and Men, I just squeezed a little too hard.
That's how it was?
Yeah, she was my rabbit.
Okay.
And I just squeezed a little too hard. J. Edgar Hoover wasn't a nice man. Right. I mean, for other reasons, he wasn't a nice man, but I've played plenty of bad dudes in my career.
I appreciated Eric's role as the ineffective and uninterested detective in Annabelle.
Oh, Del, did you appreciate the acting, or be honest, was it my mustache?
Your mustache was impressive, but I felt it fit the time period. I did appreciate, all right, this crazy woman's talking about a missing child. Maybe there's a doll involved. I don't know. I don't really care. I got something else to do. He shows up. I think it was your only scene from that movie. I don't remember exactly, but I remember that. I was, for whatever reason, I got into an Annabelle creation, whatever that series is called. I went to watch them all in one sitting, and I'm looking, oh, that's Eric, and he's playing a detective who doesn't care.
If you like that, in Wolves at the Door, which came out a couple years later, same John Leonetti, same director, I play that same detective in another film that's in that family of films.
So the Annabelle universe has another movie I haven't heard of. Wolves. I got to take a look then.
Wolves at the Door. Yeah. You'll watch it. About Sharon, kind of based on Sharon Tate and that
whole
murder. All right.
So tell us, before we get to this this break, coolest person, like celebrity that we would know, maybe one or two that you liked and one that was disappointing for you.
Oh, man, that's so hard. I would say, you know, Bradley Cooper and I got along really well on American Sniper.
Yep.
Really good dude, works his tail off, takes his job really seriously.
He's really good on A Star Is Born, too.
He is.
He's a really talented guy.
Yeah, he's a very talented guy. And so I enjoyed working with him. And I was impressed by the way he handled that film. And yes, in his starboard, he was great.
Yep.
He was great.
Who else? You said John Hamm was a good dude, right?
John Hamm's a great dude. John Hamm's a great dude.
I felt like that was a lock.
Yeah, I mean, come on. The guy loves to talk football. Loves his Longhorns.
Does he?
Yeah. Hamm loves his Longhorns. He's a Longhorn fan. I mean, you know, he's not gonna usurp Matthew McConaughey, but
he's kind of a more low key. Yeah, he's more low key Longhorn, I guess. Did you know he's a Longhorn fan, Del?
No idea.
I didn't know that. And then lastly, maybe somebody would disappoint us.
You know, I've actually been pretty fortunate. I haven't worked with anybody terrible. And I know you're looking at me like, go ahead, say it. But I truly, like,
you know,
there's,
you
nobody
don't have
that
to,
like, got under my skin.
Well, there's one person in Hollywood that you broke my heart when you told me they're not considered the nicest person.
Was it a female or a male?
Male. I'll let you
know. DW?
Yep.
Oh yeah, Denzel Washington. That's not fake news. I mean, that's, everybody knows that. You know, I've never worked with him. I've never worked with him.
It hurt me.
But yeah, not the easiest to work with.
That's kind of known in Hollywood.
But one a hell of an actor.
One all time best.
That dude can flat act.
All right, Raheel's in studio now, so you're not going to be able to see him on our little Skype. But just trust me, he's here. He'll join us.
How does he look?
Looks amazing. Is how he looks.
Okay. He looks like the informer from Amazon.
He does. He looks like Amazon's informer. Or About Last Night, where that one guy got in a cab and it's that lady
that's
ended up
murdered.
That's
a different movie. It's not About Last Night.
Something like that.
You know what? I just thought of this. Belushi. Belushi's a real asshole.
Oh, can I say that? No. You absolutely can't say that. Let's go to a break. It's 9:01 here on the bench.
ESPN 97.5.
Catch the NBA playoffs on Sling TV, the most flexible live TV streaming service, putting consumers in control to watch games their way with flexible subscriptions. Want to catch one game or a full series on ESPN? Grab a 1, 3, or 7-day pass. If you want to catch as many games as possible, get a monthly subscription with our ABC, NBC, and ESPN combo package. Either way, Sling lets you watch the playoffs your way with no long-term contracts. Learn more at sling.com.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.